to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. If you want to get in, I got a pile of texts to get to. We'll get to those over the next couple of segments. 251-343-0106. That's how you do it, and we'll do our best to respond. Silicon State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, about an hour from now. We'll stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, we believe will be running for Congress at some point in the future, but we're always glad he can make time for us. Former Congressman Jerry Carl is on the line. Congressman, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. The sun just came out over here in West Mobile, so that means I get to go back to work when I get off the phone with you. So things are good. Very good.
We're still in a gloomy, sort of rainy place over here in on the Eastern Shore. Hey, go ahead.
I was gonna say I could always tell the weather as a county commissioner by the phone calls we were getting. So your county commissioners are being hit up with phone calls of people on dirt roads that they wash out. So
yeah, it comes down so fast. Where does the water go all at once, you know? So it's August, or about to be August. What's what they would call the August recess in Washington? And I mean, you know, you're watching, you know, having spent time up there, and now this is sort of like your first time away from it. But what do you sort of make of progress report of where we are? New president, the majority, we haven't heard, not quite as much. Now, I mean, the media are like focused on other things, but it's about as best as you could expect with Mike Johnson kind of keeping things together in the House. I know they had to, you know, wrangle some votes with the big, beautiful bill and whatnot, but it doesn't seem to be quite as dramatic right now.
I'm just saying it's very dramatic. I'll tell you that. I've talked to several members that I keep up with well, and it's, you know, they claim it's the worst cycle that they've seen. But, you know, I would imagine we say that every cycle that comes up. But I think the president has just been phenomenal. I mean, what he's pulled off and what he's put together, he makes it look so easy. And I think where we probably have let him down a little bit, and I've said this before, but I think Congress needs to be more focused on supporting him when he does stuff that is just so incredible. You know, like the deals that brought back trillions of dollars from the Mideast. I mean, we need to be hounding that. We need to be talking about that. And also, you know, there's going to be problems. We need members that are capable of getting in there and having that conversation in the community. I've been working with the farm community on some issues. And of course, tariffs are hitting them early. You know, there's a little bit of rumbling, and I don't blame them. But farmers are, you know, their vision is more down the road. So they probably understand it more than the average Joe. But somebody like, you know, my wife, she talks about the, you know, the food prices are going up, you know, without thinking about the tariff issues. So we need, as Congress, we need to do a better job of getting that message out so people understand it. And it's hard to do when you're in D.C. It's easier for me to make these judgment calls here, but they're in the fire up there. So that's one thing that has really helped me understand a lot of things, sitting on the sideline this last 7 months watching. But they've earned this month off. Everybody thinks it's a vacation month. It is not. It gives them a month to get back in the district and have town hall meetings and visit industrial sites and, you know, do their photo ops with people. And, you know, it gives them a month to get back and get that done. So it is not, I repeat, a vacation. So, and hopefully they will take a few days with their families too. But I've been just, I mean, what Trump has managed to accomplish in this last 7 months is just mind boggling to me. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, and you know, I think he's had given the margins, and they're very thin, but a far superior, you know, sort of run here from what he had in his first term, that I think it's maybe it's just different now. Instead of Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, having John Thune and Mike Johnson, but the legislative accomplishments seem to be far superior to what they were in the 2017 year.
I think Trump's 4 years sitting on the sideline watching, just like I'm doing, is paying off tenfold for us today, because he's not wasting time trying to develop a relationship with somebody that's in a cabinet. He's automatically, if he wants to get rid of them, he gets rid of them. He's moving at a light speed that people cannot keep up with. I'll give you a good example. This is Jerry Carl's theory on this one. The Epstein files. You know, we've got them. We don't have them. We've got them. We're not going to release them. Back and forth, back and forth. I honestly believe Donald Trump has set the Democrat Party up. Because if Donald Trump was in that, which I'm sure everybody, I haven't, I'm sure there's not a lot of people we know that have flown on Epstein's plane, is in that docket, in that book. But that doesn't make them a pedophile by no means. But I think Trump has set them up, because I think there's some names in there of Democrat leaders that will resonate with everyone. And now the Democrats are screaming to release it. So when it's released, when it's finally released, the Democrats cannot say that Trump tried to hurt us. Trump tried to protect those people. But I think Trump has hoodwinked them. I think they're asking for something that they don't know what's in there, and Trump knows what's in there, and he's tricked them. But that's the type of person you're dealing with Trump. I mean, he's a master at, you know, the chess game. And he's three or four steps ahead of you. So, there's good days and bad days, folks. You know, those prices are going to go up on some stuff with the tariffs. Just expect it, understand it. But you know what? Instead of buying Mexican tomatoes, we can start buying American tomatoes. I've got Sessions Farms right out here. It's got all the tomatoes you want. And we may not be able to pick them up inside Winn-Dixie or one of the chain stores, but we can stop it at Sessions. And, of course, Baldwin County has families over there doing the same thing. We can buy local stuff. So I'm odd at what's going on in D.C. I just think Congress as a whole could do a better job of supporting him. And they're going to have to with some of the stuff that's coming up.
Yeah, that's another thing. And the economy, it was all doom and gloom. Remember the tariffs and everything?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what kind of headwinds lie, in store for the country. And it just seems like we've been talking about, like, something really bad happening with the economy and a downturn ever since the end of COVID. Like, oh, well, you get a little bump here, but the bad times are coming. And we staved them off for the most part. But with the congressman, with sort of all of the prognostications, they haven't come true. And I think people are sitting here today, not the rosiest of economic scenarios, but it's not the Great Depression either.
Well, the Democrat Party, all they have to sell is doom and gloom. You know, the sky's falling, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. Let's look what Trump has done, or this administration's done. I mean, stock markets are through the roof. And when people are making money on their stocks, they feel more comfortable making investments, whether it's refrigerators or washing machines, whether it's into building a new building and or moving a corporation into a larger facility. So it's a chain of events that will get kicked off as the market has done what it's done. According to the Democrat Party, we're supposed to be in a deep depression, and a new car is supposed to cost us, you know, twice of what it costs us today. So you can't look. One thing about D.C., is, you know, they're always trying to give you, especially the Democrat Party, the worst case scenario, but they make it sound like it's true. So what has the market done? The market has gotten so much better. Our incomes have increased. Have prices increased? Yes, we knew they would. They were increasing when Biden was in there. I mean, it's not something new. So I encourage people, let's be positive. I mean, the attitude of this country has changed 190 degrees since Donald Trump has taken office. I mean, it is just the attitudes are just going in such a positive direction. Let's keep that momentum going, as not just Republicans, but as Americans. You know, as Americans, let's celebrate that.
Well, and let's talk about that, because there is a perception, and you mentioned the media. I don't know, like, just in these last few years, I don't think the media carry quite the clout. Now, I don't know how you view the media personally, and it's a little different when you're a member from Alabama, but Carson, I got to think some of your former colleagues there, I mean, they really hung on to what the media were talking about. And I could see, like, you're in that bubble, and you're reading the Hill political roll call every day or whatever it was, and you get caught up in it, and you sort of start believing that's the reality, when that's not really what people care about, what these guys are talking about anymore.
I think that's the reason there's such value in the radio, for me to get on and tell my story, for people to call in with questions, for, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road. What they say in D.C. and what they print in D.C., somebody's either paid them or influenced them to write it. I was reading some stuff today, and I'm going, that's not true. But local media is something I've always trusted and always worked with. Don't always agree with them, but I don't feel like they're setting me up for a fall. I think they're truly trying to answer or get answers for their listening audience and their reading audience, obviously. So I don't have problems with media. At D.C., I'm very drawn back. I do not talk to media in D.C. because they always want to get you on that gotcha moment, you know. And if they want to come and sit in my office and ask me questions, I'll be more than glad to do an interview. But when I'm moving, the old saying goes, if I'm walking, I'm not talking. And they learn that. They learn that. But there's some members up there that really don't trust any media, and I think that's wrong. That's the conduit for us to talk to our people when we can't be in front of them, you know, our constituents when we can't be in front of them. Because people listening to your radio show, they believe a lot in what your thoughts are and the way you think. So therefore, I want to reach those people through you, through Sean Sullivan, through the printed press, everything. So I local Alabama, I don't have a problem with.
Well, and kind of talking about, you know, the trust in the media, I mean, that's something like Republicans, I've always thought that they don't, there's no one really coaching them on media. And I find this to be true kind of universally, even in the state house, they're told a lot of times just to avoid the media.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right.
And there are. Maybe I bet he's even listening. A former member of the legislature tells freshmen not to bother with talk radio. You don't know. I mean, it's just not worth it. There's no return on investment for you doing that. And they, you know, well, he's an old guard guy. He knows what's going on. And it irritates me a little bit. But I guess it's just kind of the reality of the era that these guys, the media have so abused their status as the fourth estate to sowing these seeds of distrust, but you know for Republicans, but I just in Alabama, where everyone's a Republican that matters, that makes the job a little more difficult.
And you know the person you're giving the interview to, you know if they're liberal or conservative. Maybe not the first time, but second, third time, if you've read their stuff or heard their stuff, you know where they stand. And I don't avoid a liberal press member. I have had some problems with one or two in the past, but that's been personal issues, and I'm not going to take that up on airways. But I grew up on talk radio. I love talk radio. I love listening to talk radio. I have the app downloaded. If I'm in D.C. or if I'm in California, wherever I'm at, I can actually listen to it. I enjoy talk radio. Because what I'm hearing is what the people are thinking. That's what I need to know. That's what every elected official needs to know. Forget what D.C.'s telling you. I mean, D.C. helped me lose the last election. And shame on me for listening to them. But you can't get sucked into that vacuum there in D.C. and think they have all the answers. They have some answers on a national basis. But the local folks here may not be concerned with what's going on from, let's quote unquote, an environmental standpoint, as much as they do in California. So you've got to really got to be sensitive to things and listen to people, and the radio is the way I do it. I mean, I listen to it religiously. Talk radio.
Talk. I mean, that's some high praise for what we do here. But
I'm not a TV watcher, so I rarely watch TV, which confuses a lot of people. But
how often do you go places? How many people do you find that still think you're in Congress, or they're just not up on it? They don't consume any of the media. They may show up to vote every 4 years for president. I mean, that's a pretty easy one. But there is sort of a, and I don't know, maybe it's always sort of been this way, or maybe it's this, I suspect it's more of a product of you have a million other things to draw your attention to, so you're not, watching one of the nightly newscasts. But are people more engaged, or are they less engaged now?
They're less engaged. I just spent a day with a senator from Africa, from Kenya, and we were talking about elections. I wish I'd have got you there, Jeff, to talk to this lady. Their constituents over there fight and brawl to get ahead of one another to vote. They have a turnout of 70%+ in every election. And I asked her why, and she said those folks are so focused on issues that they want to make sure they get their person in there. Now, that's hard for our mind to wrap around because, and she said this, she says, y'all are Americans. You're used to an easy life. You're used to, things being done easy. If your person doesn't get elected, no big deal. It's not going to be a big problem. And I don't think it's that flippant. But I think the average American is that I'm trying to reach. I mean, they're hardworking people. They get up at 6 o'clock, they get the kids to school, they go to work, they pick kids up, they come home, they're taking care of kids and, cleaning house. And, by the time they look up, it's 11 o'clock and they're back in bed, and every day starts and ends the same way. And they don't need to be worried about these problems. They need to elect somebody that they feel comfortable with to take care of these problems. So I don't think the average American is plugged into politics. Your listeners, yes, but the average American, no.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. Hey, Congressman, we got to get out of here a little long, but always appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk again very soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye. All right. Former Congressman Jerry Carl there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.